Family is important to God. Family has always been God's idea. Right from creation, God put man and woman together to create an environment through which we can reproduce. And within this context of family, we can bring up children in an environment of love and safety and care, that they may see and understand the Father, God Himself, that loves us. And I think that's the beauty of family, is that we have the opportunity to create an environment in which our children can grow up with an understanding of this God that loves us so much. And that's really the purpose of marriage and family. And after God, I realized that my wife and my children are my priority in life. That's what God has given me. He has blessed me with a wife and He's blessed me with children. And they are my priority next to after God and my relationship with Him. It is my relationship with my wife and my children within the context of God's purpose of family. And throughout the Word of God, a lot of emphasis is placed on family and raising children within family. But there is another family that is of great value to God. And that is the family of God. That is us here today. Together, the redeemed, the saved, the saints all over. And in our context here today, in this building, in this congregation, the family of God that transcends this congregation, that transcends this building. But there's another priority in God's heart for family, and that is the family of God. And I want to share a few concepts around the family of God and how God values us together in His family. As Christians, we are adopted into the family of God. And what is so amazing is that we're not only adopted into the family of God, God Himself reveals Himself, expresses Himself as our Father. I think that is so profound that we as modern day Christians sometimes forget when we read the Lord's Prayer. But God's invitation, God's desire is not just to save us, but to really bring us into a relationship with Him. And a particular kind of relationship. Not a distant one, but a very close and intimate one. As a father with his own children. So God calls Himself our Father. And He calls us His children. I mean, that is so profound that the Creator of the universe, the Almighty, All-Powerful, the Holy God, actually has a desire for us to come close to Him, to be a father. As a matter of fact, as we know, He speaks about the fact that He wants us to call Him Abba God, Daddy God, an endearment, a closeness, not a distance. Romans 8, verse 16 to 17 puts it this way. The Spirit Himself testify with our spirit that we are children of God. God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering in order that we may also share in His glory. You see, from the foundation of the world, God's desire was that humanity would have a relationship with Him and that we would be part of His family, His very own children. And we know that our rebellion and our sin messed all that up. We know that our rebellion and our rejection of who God is and our sin brought separation, and this relationship was broken. But God, our Father, loves us so much that He was willing to give us everything. He was willing to give up everything in order to restore that relationship. And we know the gospel, how God gave His only Son so that we can be restored to Him. In order for us to be brought back into the family of God, His Son had to die. Jesus had to die on the cross to take the penalty of our sin that separated us from this relationship. So that we can again have a relationship with God as a Father. So God sacrificed His own Son so that we can become children of God. So that we can be back into His family. In Romans 3 we read, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. the righteousness, this righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. So again we see what we know so well is that God sacrificed His Son so that we all can, through faith, become part of His family. That is an awesome privilege. That is an awesome privilege. Not just to be saved, but to be part of the family of God. I think sometimes we forget the magnitude of the reality that God has given us through the sacrifice of His Son. Sometimes we are caught up only in the consequence of our sin and the freedom from that consequence. We forget what salvation came to usher into. It's far more than forgiveness of sin. It's about identity. It's about belonging. It's about acceptance. It's about being part of the family of God, that we can actually approach God as our Father. As our Father. It means we don't need to make an appointment to see God. It means we don't need to do a lot of stuff to earn to see Him. We can simply go to Him as our Father. That loves us, that knows us, that knows everything about us. I love my children. I know what they love. I know their struggles. I know their fears. And I know their dreams. And when they call upon me, I listen. Even if it is after bedtime, the third or the fourth time, I still listen. I have to sometimes correct them, but I still listen. So we have this awesome privilege, but this privilege came at a price. This privilege came at a price. We must remember it came at a price. God gave His Son. God gave His Son not to die a quick death, but a long, painful death. Not just the death in itself, but the fact that he who knew no sin became sin and was judged by God, separated from God on that final hour when he called out, my Father, why have you forsaken me? I don't think we will ever understand the gravity of the sacrifice that God made for you and me. So that here today in the dispensation of the new covenant, we have this awesome privilege. I mean, the New Testament speak about the fact that the prophets of the old only saw it afar off. They only knew about our dispensation. And we have the privilege to live in it. But let us not forget the price, the cost of this privilege to be called children of God. We should not lose sight of the cost and therefore the value of being part of the family of God. Jesus affirmed the importance of being part of the family of God here in Matthew chapter 12. We read this interesting account of Jesus ministering and his mother and brothers could not come into the venue, into the home probably, where Jesus was ministering, because wherever Jesus was, there was hundreds and sometimes thousands of people gathering around, bringing their sick, bringing the possessed to Jesus, coming to hear these words of life. And they were on the outside and they couldn't get in, and they urgently, obviously, had to speak to Jesus, because they didn't wait. They were outside looking for Jesus. Not just the mother, but the mother and the brothers and the sisters. Everybody was there looking for Jesus. So word was sent to Jesus, your mother and family is looking for you. So let's read it. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mothers and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And he replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother." I mean, what a powerful statement. Now, Jesus is not making the statement that our biological families are no longer important. That's not what Jesus is saying. But what Jesus is saying is rather that following him is of greater priority than our families. It is our relationship with him that is of greater priority. And Jesus makes it so clear. He says, those who follow me, these are my. And I want you to see this. This is God speaking. He says, those who follow me, those who do the will of my Father, these are my brothers and sisters. You are my family. And that is really the key. And we shouldn't confuse this. Jesus is not belittling our relationships with my wife and my children, but he's saying about my priority. And you know what? Sometimes for us, it is foreign, but ask any Muslim who converts to Christianity. Ask them about the cost. Ask them about who is more important, my family or my relationship with God. Ask any, well, I remember when I was a young man, how many white South Africans, you know what, sometimes I speak to my black brothers and sisters, and you know what, you can ask them about the cost when they convert to Christianity, when the cultural pressures are on them to conform to the way tradition dictates life should be. Ask them about the cost. Ask them about the pressures. You know what, sometimes we forget, but when I was a young man, you know what, how many white South Africans that moved from a traditional church to a charismatic church was disowned, kicked out of the family because they have disregarded the church that they were brought up into and they are now joining a cult. Many of my friends suffered that. And you stand at this very difficult point where you need to decide who is more important. But Jesus is not saying our priority and our importance and our responsibility to our family should be neglected. No, he's speaking about priority, and more specifically, he's making a profound statement. He says that those who follow my Father is my brothers and sisters. You are my brothers and sisters. You are my brother, my sister, my mother. You are my family. Jesus says something powerful. He says, whoever does the will of my Father. It reminds us, of course, of John 3:16. The other great whoever. That God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, some translation says whosoever, but whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's something powerful about the family of God. It is not restricted to a particular culture, to a particular tribe, to a particular ethnic orientation, to a particular social status. It's not confined by human terms. It's actually so broad. There's actually no boundaries. So whosoever believes, whosoever does the will, is my family. And that's something powerful. Our adoption into the family of God is not dependent on our righteousness either. Our adoption into the family is not dependent on our righteousness or our good works. It's not dependent on how good your life is before you were adopted. It's not like there is a checklist of works of righteousness that you have to actually attain to qualify to get into the kingdom of God. No, the only thing that you need is faith in the promise of God. So you don't need to have your own righteousness. You don't enter into the family of God because of your righteousness. You don't enter into the family of God because you're a good person. As a matter of fact, God came to save the ungodly and the sinners, not the righteous. I mean, that's the God that we serve. He actually goes for the ungodly people. That is now the people that are not here today. For various reasons. That is typically the people that will do everything that we are horrified for and over. The sinners. Christ came for the ungodly and the sinners, not for the righteous. So the whosoever is not just the whosoever are good people, but whosoever. The good and the bad. Like we know unbelievers that are good unbelievers. You know good unbelievers? You know, people that you will leave your children with. You trust them. Do you know bad unbelievers that you will not leave your children with? Well, salvation is for whosoever. Not just the good, but also the bad. Whosoever chooses to believe in, to surrender their life to put their trust in, their hope in, whosoever accept the sacrifice and God's word over that sacrifice, whosoever accepts them is adopted into the family of God. God does not look to the outward appearance. You see, in Romans 5, he says, you see that just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us while we were still sinners. That God died for us. So that whosoever, it doesn't matter what your color is, it doesn't matter what your bank account says, it doesn't matter who your family is, it doesn't matter what your life has been up to that point, it does not matter. Whosoever puts their faith in God's salvation, in God's sacrifice, and what God says about his sacrifice, whoever puts their faith and trust in him is saved. That is how God sees us. We know God does not look at the outward appearance to determine whether he's going to adopt us or not. He's looking at our hearts. We all have fallen short from the glory of God, and we are saved by faith alone, through grace alone. All our boasting is in Christ alone. We cannot stand on anything in his presence. Our adoption is not based on anything except faith and grace. So we are saved because of what he has done, not what we have done. By grace, because we did not deserve it. We cannot achieve it, nor have we inherited it. Through faith, because it's not by works, but by a choice to humble ourselves and to believe and accept Christ's sacrifice. Humble ourselves to give our lives to Christ as Lord and to follow him and to look to him as our Savior. That is the basis of salvation. And if you feel far apart from God today, because of your life, maybe you're a sinner like me. Or maybe you have drifted away from him and you don't have that assurance of the love of God. I want to declare to you, God loves you and he wants you to come back to him. He wants you to accept him. He wants you to know that you have a Father that loves you, and all you need to do is turn to God. Accept him and follow him with all your heart. And you know what? God embraces you as his very own. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. Nothing matters except your love for God. Your faith in him. That's the only thing that matters. That is the only thing that matters. Now, we know that. But if you are here today, you feel far from God, or you're a sinner, there is only one access point. There's only one access point, and that is Christ Jesus. You have to accept him as your Lord. You have to embrace his salvation. And through faith, you will have the family of God. You will become part of him. And if you're here today and the Holy Spirit is convicting you of your life and your relationship with God, if you cannot relate to him as a father, I would love to pray with you afterwards. That is why we're here, is to help people to discover who God is. God does not discriminate based on ethnicity, social status, wealth, poverty or race. As a matter of fact, the gospel is for all nations. We know that. We know this is true, yet so often we allow the color of skin, the tribe, or the nationality to dictate whether or not we accept people. But God does not discriminate in His family. God does not discriminate in His family. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter whether you Tosa or Zimbabwean. God does not discriminate. As a matter of fact, racial reconciliation has been accomplished in Christ. He's removed all the barriers. Christ is the great equalizer. Those who trust in Christ for their salvation are adopted as children of God. And therefore, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you put your faith in Him, you are adopted into the family of God. We have the same Father. We are part of the same family. That makes us brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters. And it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your address is. You are my brother. Who have you picked your own brothers and sisters? Any of you? Okay. Great. So it's not a foreign concept. You didn't pick the people next to you either. God did. You are family. If you didn't know it, I'd hate to break it to you. As a matter of fact, you've got brothers and sisters you don't even know. You don't even know them. You don't want to accept it, maybe, but that is the truth. This room, you've got a big family, and this is not even Fana Marvis. But you have a big family. Don't you think it's time you get to know them? What would prevent you from getting to know your brothers and sisters? Because that is why Christ came. This privilege we have to be part of His family. Galatians 3 verse 28 says it this way. There is therefore neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. All the barriers has been removed. Everything. God has a colorful family. Just like the Fana Marvis. We also have a colorful, we don't like to always admit it, but we do. But God has a very colorful family. And so does this church. So it should be. Because that is the family of God. You cannot escape it. It is the truth. It is the reality. God has a colorful family and He loves it. That's the way He designed it from the beginning. And as we begin to view the members of our church, now you must follow me carefully, as we begin to view the members of our church as members of the family of God, we will realize they are members of my family. Because we are of the same family. And there's one family greater than all other families, and that is the family of God. Do we have an obligation towards one another as family? Well, you're quiet. That was one of the first questions, or one of the most powerful questions asked right in the beginning of time. Remember Cain and Abel? God asked him, where is your brother? And his response, am I my brother's keeper? Well, the answer is yes. You are. It's family. I've got a biological brother. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't change the fact that he's my brother. The fact that he doesn't like cycling does not disqualify him. It doesn't. The fact that he runs faster than I do doesn't disqualify him either. The fact that we might have disagreements from time to time, it doesn't disqualify me. He is my brother, and he will always be my brother. Well, the people next to you, in front of you, and all around you here today, they are your family. Because you are part of the family of God, and in the family of God, He does not only have one son. And that is the amazing thing of the gospel. Come to Bible school and you learn more about it. But I'll give you the clue. Because God gave His only begotten Son, and then later on in Romans you read, so that He may become the firstborn of many brothers. In the family of God there are many people, and you are not the only one next to Jesus. Jesus don't only have one brother or one sister. He has many. And therefore, we're all family. We've all been adopted into that same family. And when we start to begin to view the members of our church as members of God's family and as members of the family of God, prejudice and division must begin to crumble. It cannot stay the same. And then it counts also for members in other churches. There's no difference. It's not just the Dutch Reformed family that are part of the family of God. We are too. We are part of the same family. But the amazing thing is, once we start to understand that the person next to us, the person in front of us, the person that follows Jesus, is part of the family of God, it means we are part of the same family. And the moment we start to understand that God does not see color, God does not see race, God does not see your social status, once you understand that God loves us all equally and has given His Son for all of us, racial prejudice must crumble. It cannot remain because we're part of the same family. Now, in South Africa, this is still a big issue. It's a big elephant. It fits in just nicely there at the back. It's still a big issue in South Africa. Whether it's white on black, or black on white, or black on black, xenophobia, you call it what you may, it's still a big issue in South Africa. Race is still a big issue. The color of the skin, your tribe, your nationality, it's still a big issue. It's still a big issue, sadly, in church. And that should not continue. There is no place for that in the family of God. There's no place for that. There's no reference for that. The only segregation in heaven is the lost and the saved. That's it. You're either part of the family or you're not. But if you're part of the family, then you're part of the family. There's no divisions. There's no first and second class. It's not Jews only and the rest of our Gentiles that side. No. And it is in this context of Christ's reconciliation that Paul's right. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Because it doesn't matter. Does it now? Because we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are brothers and sisters of the same family of God. And understanding the family of God is one of the most powerful weapons against racial intolerance in the church and beyond. If we understand the family of God, racial intolerance has to die. Amen. It has to die. Maybe I should stop here. Amen. Manuel, I know Manuel. Come here, sir. Yes, you're allowed. Come, Manuel. Tulani, come here. Look here, I want to show you my brothers. Okay, right, we could be fundamentalists, but we're definitely not fundamentalists. Oh, no, this side, let me stand in the middle.
Why?
Because I love both of you. These are my brothers.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter where they live. It doesn't matter.
Fishhaven.
Swelichli. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that we're in the same family. And because I know that, I can love them as my own brothers. Because they are. They are. Tulani, He's done Bible school and he's starting a church.
Amen.
Starting a church. Now, we should support him and love him and get to know him and be interested. Imagine one of your brothers come to you and say, "Hey, I want to start a church." Your biological brothers. Won't you be ecstatic? Well, if you feel, oh, only if one of my brothers would do that. Well, I've got good news for you. You have one who's doing it.
Amen.
You have one. I mean, Manuel lives in Fisher Haven, okay? He works with his hands. He needs his car. You know his car's broken. His car's been broken for months now. It's his bread and butter. You know what is sad? I think if Manuel was white and he lived in Hermanus Heights, I think his car would have been fixed by now. Maybe because his friends have got money in Hermanus Heights and his friends in Fisher Haven does not. But his family does. We just don't know about it. Maybe we don't care. But you see, what the family of God is a reality. There can be no division. So we need to take an interest in our brothers and sisters' needs, not just our own interests, but the interests of others. That is what Christ has called us to do. So I want to encourage you, get to know your brothers and sisters. We've got brothers and sisters in Malawi. We've got a big family. But we have an obligation to love them, to care for them. And thank you, guys. Thank you. And you know what? If you want to donate, if you want to help, if you want to bless somebody in the church, let me give you some practical advice, because this year is all about being practical. Please don't go to that person in person and give them money. Please don't do that. If you want to bless Manuel, please give the money to the church to give to Manuel. Okay, we're going to start a BodyServe account soon that is specifically for that purpose. So that if you want to give to the poor beyond your tithe and your offering, and you want to bless your brothers and sisters that are struggling within this church, okay, your immediate family, if you want to bless people within, you can donate it in that account and you make a reference for who it is. And the church will give them the money. We won't take any administrative fees or anything. Don't worry about that nonsense. We don't operate like that. But the whole idea is that relationship between the two of you are protected. You know? Because if you give me 20,000 rand, tomorrow you're going to ask me, can't I babysit you for you? Now, I really don't want to babysit for you because I've got two of my own. But because you gave me 20,000 rand, I'm kind of obligated. We don't want that. Okay? The Lord says, if you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And what you do in secret, God will bless you for it. Amen. You know, so if you want to bless people, until we have the BodyServe account, make an EFT, say BodyServe and the person's name, and we know. Okay? But I want to encourage you. Look after your brothers and sisters. Get to know them. Pray for them. Bless them. Meet with them. Remember, church is a community within a community. We are a community within a community. It's called church. We are meant to reflect not only the kingdom of God, we're also meant to be an attractive alternative within this community. People need to come here and see something different to what they see out there. And you know what? There's something so powerful that makes the difference. But I'll get to that. You know, yesterday I was at home, and during lunchtime I have a man working in my garden. His name is Nelson. It was the first time he's there. He works slow. But anyway, it was lunchtime. So I decided to have my lunch with him. So we had lunch together outside. We started to speak. I started to ask questions about his family and his family. He also has two girls, and he's also content with his two girls, and he loves his two girls. And We had a nice conversation of where he's coming from the Eastern Cape and Tata, and I could share. I've been there a couple of times, slept over in his city. And we can have a nice conversation getting to know one another. And it was amazing for him and it was amazing for me. But sometimes, you know what, we just need to take that step and go beyond our comfort zone and make an effort. In South Africa, people, it's going to take effort because of our historical background and all the hurts and all the pain. That is a reality. I don't want to belittle it. It is a reality. For us white people, we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know what we're talking about when we talk about reconciliation. We did not grow up in the apartheid system. We were not oppressed, humiliated for generations. We do not have a clue. Okay? It's not always easy to take that step across. It's not always that easy. But we need to take initiative. We need to step out of our comfort, our protection of what we know and what is familiar. And we need to take that step across the line. And we need to reach out to our brothers and sisters. We need to do that. And the same goes for the other side. It's sometimes intimidating because of where we come from. But it's important to take that step. Don't wait for the other side. Take initiative. Take hands. Not because of guilt or obligation, but because we're family. We're family. Okay? So I want to encourage both sides. Take the initiative. Okay? Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's unfamiliar. Yes, 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 all those things. And yes, there's sensitivities. And yes, it's family. Who of you love to stay with your parents for longer than a month? Why not? Because they know all the freaking buttons to press. They always press the wrong buttons. You know, give them a week. They know exactly, I don't know how, they know exactly what are the sensitive points. And they will press those buttons. Okay? But we still love them. We're still part of the same family. Okay, so I want to encourage you, step across the line. And even if it's uncomfortable, do that. Okay? The amazing thing about church today is that we've got different people of different races here. Okay? It's a colorful, it's not entirely representative, but it's colorful. Okay? Let's keep it that way. Let's grow in that. Let's use the opportunity to get to know each other across the lines. Amen? Okay, now that you understand that the family of God is without divisions, we need to add what I call God's DNA to give life to the system. Okay. Once we understand, okay, we have the same father, we're in the same family, and we're all brothers and sisters. Once we understand that, we need to add God's DNA. That, at least that's what I call it. I call it God's DNA. That is the ingredient that changes everything. It's the ingredient that gives life. It's the ingredient that makes everything beautiful. It actually restores, it heals, it forgives. As a matter of fact, the clue is it never fails. It's called love. Once you understand that we are all part of the same family, you need to add love to it. If you don't add love to it, it will only be understanding. It will never grow to a practical application. And that's what you need to understand about the family of God, that even though you understand it, you need to add something to it. And that's what I'm talking about. That's something that you need to add is called love. And love is a choice far more than it is a feeling. It is a choice. It is a choice to love somebody. It is a choice to forgive somebody. It is a choice to embrace somebody. It's a choice to understand somebody. That's what it is. As a matter of fact, who of you feel like loving your enemies? Anybody feel like doing that? Well, God commands us to love our enemies. It has nothing to do with your feelings. And you know the reason why God said that most probably is because He chose to love us while we were still enemies, ungodly, and sinners. God chose to love us. So God says, listen, yeah, I want you to do the same with one another. So, how to make it practical? We're going to do that because this is what all this year is all about. I know it's going to be uncomfortable. That's why we've got the braai afterwards. I'm going to mix you all up. Get to know each other. Make an effort to get to know the people you don't know. Okay? Make an effort to get to know the people you don't know. But I want to do something practical right now here, because that always helps. I want you to stand. Yes. It's a good time. I want you to stand. And I want you to... Now, before you do it, first listen. Just listen. We've done it before, but we're going to practice it until we get it right. Okay? I'm not a cool, good school teacher, but that's what they do. You do it over and over and over until you get it right. We're going to practice this. Okay? Practice. Because we want to make it practical. I want you to go to somebody. You're going to freak out. It's okay. I want you to go to somebody because we're practicing. Okay? Practicing. I want you to go to somebody that you don't know. Not yet. Don't know. Okay? Then it's going to be like a scrum for those of you who know rugby. You know? You're going to hold, wait, and then I'm going to say engage. Okay? So, what I want to do is, you go to somebody you don't know, you're going to look them in the eyes. Okay? You're going to choose to love them. God's love has been poured into your heart. Okay? God's love has been poured into your heart. You can love anyone. Because God loves everyone. You're going to choose to love that person. And then you're just going to give him a hug. You don't need to kiss them. Just too far for some. But if it's Oom Ronnie, don't be offended if you do get a kiss. Because he's going to kiss you anyway. But that's fine, Oom Ronnie, you are allowed to. It's biblical. But because we're just training, we're not going to kiss anybody yet. But if you don't do it correctly, next time we're going to kiss. So please get it right. Okay? I want you to go to somebody you don't know. Look him in the eye, 10 seconds, choose to love him, and then give him a hug. Can we do that? Great. Find somebody you don't know. It's going to be awkward. Somebody you don't know, look them in the eye and give him a hug. But choose to love him. Okay, okay, whoa, whoa, right. You can go back to your seat. You can remain standing. I'm finishing off. I want to finish off before the power goes off. Because we still have a jumping castle to use. They were all out. Right. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. I loved you while you were still ungodly and a sinner. I gave my life for you. I want you to love each other in the same way. And then he says, there's something, and I've preached on this so far, but this I love. He says, by this, the world will know that you are my disciples. This is how they're going to know. When they walk in here, this is how they're going to know that you are my disciples. Because of the way you love each other. The way you... This, it's not the miracles, it's not the building, it's not the fancy sermon, it's not the preacher. Shucks. It's nothing to do with that. Nothing. The thing that will show the world that you are Christ's disciple is the way you love one another. And therefore it is important that we touch and we hug and we love and we care. It's important. Because that's the God that we serve. He did not just speak forgiveness. He came to live with us. You must understand, it always amazes me. God came in the flesh to be with us, to feel us, to touch us, to suffer with us, to show us how to love. How to love. To show us. In case there is any misunderstanding of who this God is, we understand His holiness, we understand His wrath, we understand His mercy, but we didn't see it until Jesus came to touch us, to feel us, to live amongst us, to show us what His love is. It's not a definition, it's not a philosophy, it's Christ on the cross. And He says, listen, you love one another as I have loved you, and by this the world will know that you are my disciples. And we have lots of brothers and sisters. Get to know them.